Okay, boys. Well, let's kick it off here. Chapo for the week. Original three. Me, Matt, and Felix. What's going on, gang?
You know, pacing around the apartment on Zoom calls, playing 16 hours of Counter-Strike a day, not really getting any better at it.
Well, you say...
Getting deep into the world of This Is Us.
Well, Felix, you say apartment, though, but, like, you know, we should probably promote the fact that we are on the Chopped COVID tour right now. You know, we're going state by state, just staying one step ahead of this horrible plague. But we've left New York, and we're taking the show on the road.
Yeah, that's right. We are right now. We're actually on a cruise. We're traveling. We went to the six by party bus, because, like, in these grim times, you really have to, like, keep it moving, keep everyone motivated, give people stuff to get excited about. Then we got on a cruise going from Lake Erie all the way to Detroit. That's right, the home of hard rock.
I mean, I just think it's important to, like, you know, we're in, obviously, you know, we started out in New York City, which is, like, you know, the hardest hit place in the country right now. But I think it's important to know, let the rest of the country know, like, sort of what we're facing, but do it, you know, sort of in a face-to-face, you know, roadshow style context.
And these shows are awesome. They're standing room only. It's just fucking awesome to see, like, even with this shit, people are still coming out. They're still vibing. I've seen a lot of people. Like, I've seen, like, just the energy at these shows is so good. I've seen people come in, total strangers. They're making out. They're finger-blasting each other. And that's really what it's all about at the end of the day.
And, you'd think that they would be reticent about jumping into the fondue jacuzzi, but nope, they go right in there.
No, that's the reason we got it. We got it because we want to bring people together. It's like Donald Trump and Democrats, they're all trying to tear us apart. They want us to be different. They want us to, like, stay home, feel bad. And we're bringing people together. That's how we're going to beat this thing.
Exactly. This is like...
We've seen so many people take their grandparents to the show. It's so awesome, dude.
Dude, it's about community. It's about we're providing a community space to come together all over this great nation of ours, you know? And it's like, I gotta say, these venues, they're being super nice with us, man. They'll do anything, honestly, to get some people in the doors today. And we're getting great deals on this. It's just, you know, we're making money.
We're cashing out. I wanna be honest. You know, we're making so much.
We're making so much money. We're traveling the country again. We're out of the house. And it's just like, we're getting a good message out there. So that's what's important for us.
It feels so good. It feels so good.
I mean, I personally don't feel all that good. I mean, I have a little bit of a cough at the moment, or have since, you know, the week or so we've been on tour. But other than that, things are going great.
I have been, I've been doing the double dip, you know, the diarrhea vomit. And that's, like, not the best, but that's the road lifestyle, dude. That's the road. That's what pro wrestlers talk about. That's what, like, my favorite hard rockers, like Aerosmith, Counting Crows, Trapped. That's what they talk about in their books, if you ever read those. So it's really, I'm just, like, very humbled to be part of this tradition.
It's the way
a rock and roll road dog.
It's the way of the road, bubs. The way of the road.
You roll away the road.
Well, you know, I guess maybe we could start off on this one. I know, Matt, I know you've been betting that no evil person will die of this pandemic, but
that's been my model so far. Yeah.
Yes. Your model is about to be put to the test, though, because Bojo has just been moved into intensive care.
Oh, no.
So if you had.
Prayers up, fam.
Yo, can we get some blessings going for Boris Johnson, who 2 weeks ago basically originally said the UK was going to go with a herd immunity strategy of just basically letting the virus run rampant through its council estates and sort of pensioners and hopefully none of the royal family. But they're like, yeah, after, you know, a million or so people die, like, you know, we'll have an immunity to it. We can... just get on with the old stiff upper lip, the spirit of Dunkirk, eh? And then made a point at a press conference of talking about how he's still shaking everyone's hand.
There's another weird thing, and people, like, glossed over it. Like, the handshaking thing, it was just, like, boring culture war shit. But, he also talked about, like, eating a lot of old women's pussies. And they've actually all died. I know that's, like, a thing in their culture, but, like, Jesus Christ.
I know we said we would never talk about the UK again, but, like, people don't know, when you're prime minister, once a week you have to have tea with the queen and eat her pussy.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's really nuts. And it's, I mean, I want to criticize it, but it's honestly, like, part of their culture. So.
I mean, it was a big deal about, like, all the, you know, hysteria over, like, oh, what if Corbyn becomes our PM or whatever. People forgot he doesn't do that. He's going on record as saying, like, yo, that shit is foo-foo sus fugazi, though. And you know, there's a good chance if he had been prime minister, he wouldn't have eaten the Queen's pussy.
I think it's he'll be fine though. The UK they're known for their high end leeches, liniments, unguents, all that stuff. They've got all the best of it. Eye of Newt, they got better Eye of Newt than anybody in the world.
They are, and like people talk about it, like, oh, there's been a brain drain from the UK. You know, the people aren't coming there anymore. But their alchemists are some of the best in the world.
Absolutely. Yeah, working in the tradition of Newton, they're doing a great job.
Yeah, I mean, like, a third of Parliament, like, everyone remembers the crisis of 2010 when a third of Parliament died from drinking molten silver. But they've actually come a long way since then. And also, like, people wouldn't be, if those guys had actually achieved immortality, like people said, I don't think you'd be making fun of them.
So this, if he does die, it will either prove that there is not a secret cure that rich people get, or that they all agreed to sacrifice Boris so that the rest of us wouldn't suspect that there was a rich person cure.
I disagree. I think there's a third option. If he survives, and he will for this reason, it's because he carries the mighty soul of a Turkic warrior, of a Yaya riding along the river Bosphorus.
Well, if he gets put on the ventilator, it's 50-50. And Frindo, I like those odds.
I love the idea of, like, cleaning out Boris's ventilator because there's just got to be, like 3 pounds reserve of gravy in his respiratory system.
Gravy, Worcestershire sauce, yeah, all that stuff.
What's your job? Oh, there's an entire Yorkshire pudding that congealed in Boris's respirator that I have to clean out.
I got to say, guys, the thing that's keeping me going right now is the Ghani's funeral guy meme.
Oh, man.
That's a good one.
Honestly, you really need that one right now. And whenever I see those guys just sort of strutting up with that whole casket on their shoulder, doing their thing, I feel good.
It's a good time. It's a good time.
Just the thought that, like, you know, if any of us were to somehow die of the corona, at least we know in our final moments as the ventilator whizzes away that, hey, at least there's going to be an epic Ghana dancing funeral meme made about us.
Yeah, someone will do a video where they'll clip all of this shit that we just said about making fun of Boris Johnson dying, cue it right up, go smash into the, just smash straight into the Ghani's funeral guys.
Yep.
I mean, God, do you think about the work that they're going to get once this blows over? You know what I mean?
Those guys are going to be richer than Masa Musa by the end of this fucking thing.
Masa Musa was, a lot of people don't know. He was actually, like, if you adjust for inflation and size of the economy, like, he was the richest man in history. And he invented the Bloomberg abacus. That's why.
It couldn't suck you off, though, because that hadn't been invented until, like, 1970.
Dick sucking had not yet. Nobody thought that it was a thing.
No, that's another episode we're doing. We're doing a historical deep dive where we expose that fellatio was invented by the OSS as a way to keep men docile. It was part of Gladio.
Felix, I wanted to ask you about this because this is something that happened the other week that I was like, what's going on here? Or like I couldn't quite follow it. Did they do like a pseudo coup to Bolsonaro in Brazil?
No one's really sure on this.
it's a little weird.
So Bolsonaro has like sort of a feud with his health minister who's way more popular than him, and he was gonna fire him, but he didn't. And like that seems like something that the military would be like, no, you fucking idiot. It'll like destroy your government's legitimacy. But it's also possible that he's just like, oh, he's way more popular than me. But I mean, I could see it. I could see the military being like, you fucked everything up. Like you have coronavirus. Literally everyone you've ever met in your life has corona. You can't even do a push-up. You're fucked. And that's possible. I mean, the Brazilian military is also incredibly incompetent, but also so is Bolsonaro. So it's a tough nut to crack. I'm going to lean towards yes, because it's funnier. And also, like Matt said this earlier this week, he would welcome just like them deposing him. Like,
oh, absolutely.
Miserable.
The guy used to demand the return of military rule. And now that he's in charge, it's not like he thinks he's doing a good job.
No,
like, he's be like, oh, thank God.
He's never been unhappier. Like, this is the shittiest time of his life.
It's like, like some guy with mirrored sunglasses and epaulets is going to like march him out of the presidential palace to a firing squad. And he's just going to have like a what me worry shirt on and like a big thumbs up grin.
Yeah, he's the Bolson Arrowgren.
He's going to wear a shirt with a bullseye on it. And yet, those Brazilian military officers will still miss.
They're going to ricochet 38 bullets and kill like a 7-star general. Bolsonaro, if they did the helicopter flight, first of all, he would try to check in 24 hours before like it's a JetBlue flight. He'd be so excited. But also, they would somehow like crash the helicopter into a bouncy castle,
all of them. They would push him out of a helicopter, but like somehow he would just hit a giant trampoline and then just bounce back into the open door of the helicopter, being like, "Hello, it's me."
Yeah, he would just be like making that grim Bolsonaro face while bouncing all over the place and be like, "Oh, I can't even die right." That's the sound he's making when he makes that fucked up grin. You know what, though? Opposite of the soy noise.
Yeah,
that's true.
The soy noise, the Trudeau noise.
Yeah.
The Bolsonaro noise. Just like anguish groan.
How pissed are guys like him and Trump that this shit is happening?
This is not
why they wanted to be presidents or in charge of anything. They just wanted to be like, they wanted to like meet the Hamburglar. That was the whole reason they became president.
Well, yeah, Bolsonaro, like the entire reason Bolsonaro, like, ran for president of Brazil was like, I'm gonna make it so there are no more gay college professors. he's a man entirely born out of like boomer memes where there's like a gay college professor who makes his students atheist, and then like he gets in and they're like, oh yeah, you have to talk to like the logging guys and shit like that. He doesn't like this. He doesn't like doing any of this. The Bolsonaros are like, they're far dumber than the Trump. So imagine what a bad time they've been having.
Yeah, that's I like to think about that. That's great. Speaking of generals, I said I wanted to talk about this. My other favorite news story this week was the Navy, like just shit canning that guy on that aircraft carrier and then giving a speech where they were like, yeah, that guy sucks. He's a pussy.
That's so funny to do. It's so funny. It's so funny. For like the Secretary of the Navy, for the government, for the executive branch to be like, what's the official business today? Oh yeah, the captain of the ship's gay.
Yeah.
Okay. And the best part is that the guy insisted, because people were saying, oh, Trump had this guy fired for writing a letter about how he's concerned for his troops because of the virus or whatever. And they said, and the guy said, no, I did not. The president didn't say to fire him, but I was worried that the president was going to get mad and at me for not firing him, so I did.
No, awesome. And they even gave like an address to the guy's fucking like to his sailors or seamen or whatever, where they were like, yeah, like you know that guy you've all been like saluting to and like respecting and honoring, like yeah, he was a huge pussy, but we shit canned his ass. He sucked, dude. He sucked. I don't know why we were even saluting him in the first place.
Yo,
dude,
what are you guys doing on this boat, man?
I love that. Yeah, I bet it made you guys fuck each other. I love that the Trump administration has now given us like a dumb guy version of the Kane mutiny.
Yeah. Yeah. No, instead of around the Horn of Africa, they were talking about Around the Horn, the ESPN show.
Yeah. Tony Reale, 5-star admiral. Yeah.
That guy, Captain Crozier or whatever, is like, because he simply just wrote a memo being like, there's 200 people infected with coronavirus on my aircraft carrier. Can you please help us? We're trapped in Guam right now. And they were like, you fucking bitch.
Why don't you figure it out, dumbass?
Why don't you keep your fucking mouth shut? Now, the Secretary of the Navy guy said like either he was thought he was going to like, make a political statement with that memo, or he was too dumb to realize otherwise. Either way, he's too much of a simp to be in charge of a nuclear powered aircraft carrier. So get the fuck out. And there was even news footage of him like lonely, like just morosely walking down the gangplank by himself, walking off an aircraft carrier of like 20,000 people or whatever.
Yeah. And they showed the troops all like clapping and cheering him and everything. And then the guy shows up 2 days later and he's like, yeah, that guy fucking sucked.
That was awesome. That's so awesome to do. It's so like they're trying to make a military coup happen against themselves. They see what's happening to Bolsonaro, and they're like, can we get this done?
Yeah, I would love for some guy in a uniform to tell me that I don't have to look at these fucking charts anymore. Yes. I do not understand at all.
He would be so relieved if the military deposed him.
Oh, my God.
So relieved. He wouldn't have to, like, worry about the stupid election. He wouldn't have to do anything anymore. Like, he would make a deal with the military where, like, he's allowed to just basically go back to being Donald Trump, but Don Jr. has to face a firing squad.
Oh, but he would sell him out in a fucking heartbeat.
It's a great deal. It's a great deal, folks. I still have one son. I've got a son-in-law. I've got Jared and Eric and Baron.
Sometimes you lose some on the way, but it's never your best asset. He would make some deal where they turn Jared into Prometheus, where a drone rips off his fucking liver every day. And he's like, sorry. It was, they had me on the ropes, but we made it out. Thank God.
We all came out of it okay, except for Jared. But he understands. Sometimes you got to sacrifice for the deal.
And sometimes you got to cut off your weakest link. And then Trump could do the thing that he's always wanted and, like, get Tom Brady to marry Ivanka.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Felix,
you know what he was going to try to do before this? I bet he was probably going to try to get Tom Brady back to the Patriots.
Yeah.
Folks, I got to make him an amazing deal. Talk to my good friend, Bob Kraft.
Yeah. And then this crap happened.
Yeah. He was on the verge of securing a second term. He was going to win Massachusetts, the first Republican since Reagan.
Reagan in 84. That was going to be his new deal.
Yeah.
It was going to be his legacy.
The Brady deal. Yes. Felix, when you said he'll turn Jared into Prometheus, I didn't know that you meant like the Greek myth where like a vulture eats his liver every fucking day. I thought you were talking about the film Prometheus, where he would turn him into one of those sort of navigator aliens or something.
That'd be a good job for Jared. Folks, I mean, he's been studying.
We're gonna send him to Mars, and he's gonna seed the whole planet with his DNA. We're gonna create new guys in Mars from Jared.
I would love to know what Jared's research on COVID is. Because I bet it includes like 28 days later.
That was amazing.
I was thinking about
Did
that.
You guys see him at the press conference where they asked him like, what was
good.
The deal? And he was just like, well, we were looking to get all the data, and the president was very concerned about data, and he wanted us to look for all the data. And so we had to do data. And we did a lot
at this
of data,
point,
and I'm very proud of all the data we did.
Jared is like, you know, like, is he even like an actual cabinet appointee? Like,
no, he has no job.
He was just like, he just has no official job. Has been given the Middle East, like Israel-Palestine crisis. He's been put in charge of that. He's been put in charge of like economic recovery and now the global pandemic.
Yeah, he's doing a great job at all of those things. Remember when he secured Middle East peace last year? You were too busy vaping your bong to note that he fucking solved the Middle East.
Have you seen any wars in the Middle East since then? No, I don't think so. So the most insane, like everyone has a moment with like Trump people where they're like, this is a fucking cult. But I think like the clearest one I saw was actually this week, because Michelle Malkin made this tweet that was like, we're all in agreement that like Jared fucking sucks, right? That he's bad and stupid and doesn't know anything. And then all these like, you know, the suburbanite hair, the one shade light brown, one shade blonde.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I spent all my free time in Panera hair.
And then like brown behind it. Yeah.
Exactly. Literally thousands of replies that are like, I like Jared. He's doing the impossible right now.
Wow, that is more cucked than I thought you could be as a human. Holy shit.
That's the most cucked you could be. Like, even the biggest Trump sycophants, like the only people that vibe with Jared... You know what? Actually, now that I think about it, the online pro-Trump base, they obviously hate Jared because, like, they're, like, edgy, like, alt-right or new-right people, and they're like, Jared's a fucking globalist, Ivanka is a globalist unit. But now that I think about it, all these people replied to Michelle Malkin. They were, like, just, like, fucking log-brained suburbanite moms. What if, like, Trump's base likes Jared? It's very possible.
I mean, they're dumb enough.
They're dumb enough, and it's like if you're like an idiot suburbanite, and they're like, "Oh, look at this really thin guy in a suit. He's taking care of everything. Yeah, he's
Mayor Pete for Trump people.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It probably is like the majority opinion in like the actual Trump base, not online.
Yeah, the older ones, like, oh, he reminds me of like what I wish my son was like.
No, he's right. if you
can make my son 1/5 of the width, he would be like Jared.
And by the way, have you guys noticed that Jared has like a new face this week? Or he's debuted a new sort of skin that's like very taut. He's looking wildly taut.
Jared, he looks like he's been wearing a really high and tight Ariana Grande ponytail for 25 years yeah. approximately.
I mean, I know we've ragged on Jared in the past, but like he is, I guess, the U.S. government's point man for our, you know, I guess. The federal government's response to a, you know, global pandemic that's currently like, you know, just raging throughout, like just spreading rapidly in America's population, and seemingly nobody has any idea what to fucking do. And this was a guy who prior to this gig, his big innovation was like changing the font of the New York Observer to a slightly larger size and then not selling a building on Park Avenue.
Yeah, but then he somehow figured out a way to sell it. So joke's on you for saying he's an idiot for not being able to sell his building. All it took was for his father-in-law to become president, and then all of a sudden Qatar decided that it was a good investment. That's his genius.
That's amazing. So it's a very outdated, poorly ventilated building with really low ceilings that's nonetheless incredibly expensive, but the Qataris just decided, like, nowhere to go but up, huh?
Yeah, this is going
to
be a moneymaker for us.
Oh, man. In a real country, can you imagine?
I know, seriously. If we were not a practical joke country. Yeah. I would just love that after this, if Jared became like a, he just sold his like wealth creation system, you know, like on a infomercial. And you buy them and there's like 60 fucking hours worth of tapes. And it's just him in front of a thing that says, "Have your father-in-law become president of the United States."
And it's like probably like a few years ago when he was trying to unload this burdensome piece of shit that he bought for no reason. he was like probably pleading with some Goldman Sachs guy, "How do I get rid of this?" And then he's like, "I don't know. Your dad becomes fucking president." Yeah. Wait a minute.
Speaking of the Trump family, have you guys seen Barron lately? He's growing at an exponential rate. He's taller than Trump now, and Trump is like over 6 feet tall. Barron is getting
Trump's
to be like
6'2".
Yeah, Barron is getting to be like, you know, Dikembe Mutombo height, but like he keeps growing. He's just a growth
gigantic.
Spurt.
He's like, simply gigantic.
They're giving him some kind of super soldier serum. Like seriously, they're training him to be like, yeah, he's gonna be the Kwisatz Haderach. Like they're doing experiments with Barron. He's like, there's something gonna come with Barron. The simulation is rapidly accelerating, and it only leads one direction.
I gotta Barron. We did joke about Barron being like the God Emperor, but when you see how old is he? 14?
I think
he's 7 feet tall.
Yeah,
this is clearly this is a world historical figure. He's like Peter the Great or something, and he will clearly like rule the afterscape. I don't think there's any question about that.
We laughed at Mike Cernovich when he said of Barron that he has like a special energy that he can see in his eyes.
But once again, give it to the gorilla man. He was correct.
He was right.
Give it to the gorilla.
He was right, man.
Give it to the
tropics. What do tropics do to coronavirus? Maybe they're the key to everything.
Yeah, I mean.
Okay, what is
anything? Barron is going to be like a Frederick the Great type.
Yes, absolutely.
Not like the thing that Frederick got in trouble for at the court when he was a kid, not the same thing. Barron, it's going to be like he was talking to like, you know, a girl with an anime avi on Discord.
Yeah, instead of being forced to watch his boyfriend get executed, they're going to make him sit in the West Wing and watch as they smash his Xbox in the Rose Garden.
Delete all his saved files, all his saved games.
Yeah, they're going to print out pictures of anime girls and shred them and like light them
and
on
his
fire.
His heart will turn to stone.
Yeah, he will become a fucking military mastermind. For any budding content creator now is your chance to be Baron the Great's Voltaire.
Yes.
His sort of frenemy.
Yeah, get in
Frederick,
there.
I was reading about Frederick and I was laughing that he was just like, that's just like the highest level of sexuality. It's just like, he didn't even want to like ever see a woman. He's just disgusted by them.
Ew, gross.
Yeah, that's awesome. Like, he's like, that's like a homophobic joke people used to make, that like gay men just like couldn't be around women. But it was true of like one guy, and he was the king of Prussia.
Speaking of quack cures, what's that fucking like the fish tank cleaner shit that Trump people are drinking to save the cure themselves right now?
Well, so there's a real thing that is apparently useful both as a treatment for coronavirus and maybe even as a prophylactic against like getting bad reaction in the first place. And Trump talked about it, but apparently like there's different versions of it, and like part of it is in something that is also in a fish tank cleaner. And of course, because Trump said, go take this stuff, more than one person just like heard the name, saw it on fish tank cleaner and drank it.
Well done.
A masterclass.
Speaking of Trump sycophants that have become strangely prescient, can we talk about Bill Mitchell, another guy we foolishly doubted in the past, but his evolution over the last couple of weeks or something is very telling, and it's very interesting, sort of like it points into a certain direction for where we're all headed. And, you know, you'll remind yourself that, like, I guess Bill Mitchell has been, you know, obviously like Trump's number one fan. And when Trump was saying it was a hoax, he was going all along with it and was, you know, would be tweeting stuff like 8 million people die a year from diarrhea. Where's my diarrhea bucks? Give me my diarrhea money. Where's our diarrhea bailout? Give it to me. You know, because he was just saying, like, you know, people die all the time. Well, this is crazy to shut down the economy, blah, blah, blah. Then he said a week ago, if less than 2,000 people die, can we all agree that Trump is the greatest president of all time? I mean,
I agree with that anyway. I mean, that doesn't matter. Every American could die, and that's still accurate.
Yeah. And then just a couple days ago, he tweeted, Matt, once again, you're making it happen. Basically the Jim Jones White Knight speech, where he basically just says, what's the big deal, guys? Like, death is just a veil. You're just like walking through a door. You just leave your body behind and just enter the next life. Nothing to be afraid of.
That was awesome.
Who cares?
That was, it's like,
that was pretty cool, honestly.
He turned into like, I'm pretty sure that's a line of dialogue from like Kingdom Hearts. It's sort of like a villain with a really sharp haircut.
It was a cross between Jim Jones and the end of Videodrome, where Debbie Harry's like, don't be afraid to let your body die.
Yeah.
Become the new flesh. Yeah.
That is the best way to defend Trump. Just be like, die. When he closed that tweet by saying, maybe the dead mourn for us. Yes, that should be in Trump ads.
The dead will. The living envy the dead. Trump 2020.
When you just place yourself like at an unmovable position, yeah, that Trump can't do anything wrong, the places you go are so awesome. Like Bill's. We've talked about Bill's Yahoo Answers page before, and he does have, like, the mind of a dullard. His Yahoo Answers were, could there be a bee big enough where one sting could kill somebody? Or, like, how come they don't make condoms that only cover the tip of the penis?
That's the best
like,
one.
That's the best question.
He just, like, he is, like, a result of, like, being blessed socioeconomically with when he was born and, you know, when he sought employment in the world. He's blessed by having like some type of like completely cotton candy brain given to him by asbestos and lawn darts. And like a guy like that, it's like, oh, that guy probably gets some fucking leathery poon.
Oh man, bar. He does.
He for sure does. He loves a buffet. He goes on some fucking idiotic vacation to like Uncasville, Connecticut, because he says it's better than Vegas every year. Like, he should just be living a pleasant life, but he's just so committed to this. He's like, death is a transitional stage. This world is temporal. You shouldn't cry for the dead. If you truly believe, you will not cry for the dead. They mourn for us. It's just, he's going great. He's going places he never would have gone if he didn't get this into it.
I mean,
he would have never had those thoughts.
But like, here's the thing. It's just like, he was ahead of the curve about Trump. Like, he was right that like the polls were cucked. They didn't matter. It was the real primary. The real numbers were in our hearts. He was your voice.
He was correct. Yes.
He was correct. Honestly, I'm not even being like ironic. Like, he made us.
He was right.
He made us look foolish in the last election. So I always look to Bill as sort of a harbinger of things to come. And in a week in which, I don't know if you guys got the sort of alert on your phone, but everyone in New York City got like a flash alert on their phone at the same time that essentially said, is anyone here, is there a doctor? Is there a doctor in this city?
Like, yeah.
Any of y'all know about medicine or anything?
Yo. Anybody got some scrubs or some shit? Yeah. Anybody watch Scrubs? Anybody retain anything from watching the show Scrub?
No, yeah, everyone in New York City gets a fucking a push notification that's like, hey, are you guys a doctor? We could.
I just love the idea that somebody who has just been watching this happen with total remove be like, damn, that sucks. Whatever, not my problem. And then they see that and they're like, oh shit, I do. I'm a medical doctor. Oh goddamn. Yeah.
They forgot that degree's been in a dresser drawer. It's like, whoa, like what happened? You didn't ever do a hospital internship? And he's like, no, I just really got into like Clash of Clans.
I started
the summer before I was supposed to become a doctor, I became a lifeguard. And I really just developed like a passion for it.
Just imagining like Ken Jeong is judging an episode of The Masked Singer. And they get the alert, and he's like, oh, fuck, I actually am a doctor. Why am I doing this? Why am I on The Masked Singer when I could be saving lives? This is actually wildly irresponsible of me.
So, yeah, we got the push notification just essentially doing the is there a doctor in the house bit. And then today I read that the New York City Parks Department is basically they are exploring avenues for digging mass graves in public parks should the hospital morgues fill up or hit capacity. So that's where New York City is right now. So I'm thinking about that in light.
They do that for the flu every year.
It's your brother.
I've seen any news stories about that.
So I'm thinking about that in terms of Bill's latest missive as a guy who is ahead of the curve, who's basically just kind of preparing us that like your body is a shell. Like this life is a dream. And like the next one is real. And like death is just a portal. So
imagine you are bedbound with COVID. You feel your body giving out, like you're getting lighter. You start feeling your limbs less. A plague doctor comes in. He's wearing one of those beaked plague masks.
Yes.
He opens it up and he's like, hey, it's Bill Mitchell. And he starts humming along like a Captain and Tennille song. And then he puts a pillow over your face. That's the last thing you see. He's euthanizing you for Trump.
So, yep. That's the way it's going here in New York. I suppose elsewhere in the country, we're recording this Monday night. Wouldn't you know it, Wisconsin definitely going ahead with their primary tomorrow. Definitely get out to the polls if you're in Wisconsin. But if you're in Milwaukee, so many poll workers have quit. There's only going to be 5 polling locations in the entire city. So but
that's okay though, because it's not like a big convention. You go in there one at a time.
You're right. You can maintain the 10-foot gap, which would essentially mean that, you remember the lines before this shit started where like the lines back to back were like, I don't know, they stretched the length of Manhattan in some places. You know what I mean? Like it was a 6-hour line. Imagine doing that now with like 6-foot gaps in between anyone. There isn't enough space in the city of Milwaukee to fucking fit that line. It'd be like playing that snake game on your calculator. But eventually, you know, the snake would get too long and it would go into its own.
In fairness to like the Democrats and stuff, this is the fault of the Republicans, and Wisconsin Republicans are the most psychotic demons on earth. It is amazing how the Koch brothers were able to take over that entire state with just like a couple of briefcases of apartheid era Krugerrands and one ham sandwich chewing dullard, one of the dumbest men to ever live. And he's ruined that state basically forever. Like they've gerrymandered that place so well that like 40% of the vote basically has a guaranteed control over this, basically every meaningful lever of state power there. And they have an elected Supreme Court. And there's one of the things they're having is a Supreme Court race. And they want that turnout to be as low as possible. And great way to have a low turnout election is when there is a literal pandemic going out. So
yeah,
they're like, we're doing this. We're getting another guy in the Supreme Court. Fuck you. And they already have a 4-2 fucking majority. That's how much they don't give a shit, is that they're still willing to do this.
We would already be sanctioning Wisconsin if it was another country. We'd already be sanctioning this entire fucking country.
Yeah. And then, of course, the funniest part is that, but then, you know, you're like, hey, it's not the Democrats' fault. The governor's trying to stop them. But guess who says, you know what? It's not that big of a deal. We should keep doing our beloved institutions, or what? It's Joe Biden. Joe Biden. He has not said this is fucked. He has not said don't do this. He's like going with the flow. He's saying fuck it, be legends.
Well, yeah, Joe. Well, Biden has like a Bill Mitchell attitude by this, because he's visited by the specter of death every night of his life. It's time to go, Joe. Come on, man. Can I just get let me do this election, man. I don't want, not yet. And every night he just sort of wraps a chain around an enchanted switchblade, just like he did with Corn Pop, and wards death away.
Yeah, it's like the, what is it, the ghost of Christmas Past, except they're covered in bike chains and not shackles of kept them to their worldly life and job.
The special specter of death specific to Delaware.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I just sort of feel like a broken record with this shit, because this primary just chugs on, but it's just it's such a distant afterthought. It's so weird thinking about where we were when we ended the tour versus now.
Yeah.
It's it's fucking depressing, but it just feels it's frozen. Like nothing is real. And, you know, I've said before, there under no circumstances can you consider this primary legitimate at all. And I'm saying, and I'm saying this as someone who I will admit that even on a perfectly observed every standard of a free and fair election, and everyone was able to vote. I'm willing to admit that's no guarantee that Bernie Sanders would have won it then either. But I don't know. It's just the whole process just seems like this. It's just it's just not real at this point. They should.
Well, that's why it's nuts that they don't just stop it.
They should just appoint Joe Biden. I mean, I'm not saying I want them
to
do it, but they could do it.
But no, they could.
They have to go and kill their fucking voters.
That's what Stacey. They already killed in Michigan and in Florida and in Arizona. They have
Illinois too.
They have killed voters. Well, I mean, I'm talking about swing states, but places they actually care about. They hurt their own possibility of winning Michigan and Florida, and are going to in Wisconsin, because there are going to be people who are voted last the other week and who are going to be voting tomorrow who are going to die, who are Democratic-based voters. And they're okay with it because it observes the forms. And it's like they absolutely could just say, we're canceling all of this and Biden's the nominee. Hell, they could say we're canceling all of this and Cuomo's the nominee. We're canceling all of this and Neera Tanden's the nominee. They could do whatever they wanted. There's no stopping them, really. But the thing is that's what the Democratic Party exists to do, is observe forms. And if they made the message that, hey, you know, forms, we don't need those anymore, well, then we also don't need the Democratic Party anymore. And that is the bridge too far, because as much as they might not care about, and in fact are actively hostile to, holding power, they sure as hell don't want their beloved institution to go away, because that's their conduit for money and influence and everything. So there needs to be a place in politics for meaningless formal obligations, because if there wasn't, the Democrats would have no reason to exist.
But I mean, to stop Bernie Sanders, I mean, they broke a lot of fucking norms on this election. Think what they did in Iowa.
They're still carrying out the formal obligations. Behind the scenes, anything can be done. Of course, there's no rules, but you have to observe the formal obligations, because this is a one party state. The United States is a one party state. It's a one party capital state. The Democrats are there to provide an illusion of, of deliberation through norms. And if there's no norms, if we're in the post-norm era now, then why the hell would anybody consult any of these motherfuckers about anything? Why would you be in a room with fucking Steny Hoyer if it doesn't matter that you observe norms?
So, I mean, obviously they just want Bernie to drop out so they can just, be done with it or whatever. But, he's not doing that. And, God bless him for sticking around. I mean, we need somebody out there talking at a national level about what people need and how this could be different, were we a, I don't know, barely functional society or state. But the thing is, it's just everyone wants him to drop out. I mean, apparently there's some speculation that even some people around him and some allies are getting, you know, basically going to tell him to throw in the towel. I don't know what he's going to do. I don't know how long he's going to hold it out. I would hope he would stick it out as long as possible. I mean, like, there are still a lot of people who really are counting on him and who believe in him, even if they have, you know, abandoned the idea that, you know, he's going to get this nomination. But I mean, it just seems to be like there's a growing demand for Bernie Sanders and his campaign and only them to do some sort of searing moral inventory about what went wrong or what they could have done differently. All again, by the way, all these demands are being made by the people who fucked them over in every way possible during the fucking actual campaign. So what do you guys make of
that? It is more important than ever in light of how fucked up, how illegitimate so much of this primary is, that you not listen to these people.
Yes. Yes.
These people do not deserve for you to fucking entertain any of the horse shit they say. Nothing they say is based in reality. It, like everything else, it's completely based in like pre-existing idiotic fucking boring grudges they had in media or on Twitter or academia. None of it has any application to what actually happened. And again, even if this was a legitimate affair, it wouldn't either. People just do that anytime they think they can settle some boring fucking score, prove that they were right about like this type of poster, this type of podcast, this type of writer, this type of journalist. It's never someone who actually knows anything about winning anything. And I know that because everyone doing this was for Warren until February, or still is.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's what I'm saying. We can do a fucking, a struggle session about like where the campaign went wrong. And there's plenty of things that, you know, one might suggest about, you know, maybe he tried to play nice for too long. Maybe he should have never run as a Democrat to begin with. Maybe he should have been, you know, a lot meaner or nicer or blah, 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 or, you know, made more of an electability argument or like blah, blah, blah. Like all these things are just basically just speculation at this point. Like I could see there's value in some of them, but like none of it really strikes me as any kind of like silver bullet. I mean, I think basically what we're realizing is that like he could have run the most perfect campaign ever. And they never would have worked for him basically, not in the Democratic Party.
Right.
But like what I'm saying is like all of these things are being like most of the people who are demanding it are Elizabeth Warren people. And it's just like, where's your fucking searing inventory? Like why, like your candidate did like exponentially worse than not just Bernie Sanders, but like Amy Klobuchar and Pete Buttigieg. So where did she and you go wrong in this campaign?
You got your ass kicked by the mayor of South Bend.
You lost the black vote in South Carolina to Pete fucking Buttigieg. If you're going to give me any fucking advice, it should be over like what type of armoire to buy.
Yeah.
You're not telling me a fucking thing about this.
Yes.
Because you don't know fucking shit.
You know, I was thinking about I was thinking about Big Structural Bailey the other day.
I often do.
I often do it because I was reminded of the picture, the famous picture of the big, the giant balloon, the giant stuff, the inflated Bailey and Elizabeth Warren going like, it's Bailey. And apparently they would take that thing to shows and stuff. And I just thought about how, like, say you're a regular human being, like a regular, normal hurt person who has, you know, for whom maybe they are aware of politics, maybe they even have political opinions, but who have decided to be normal and not make that like an animating part of their world and their life and their identity. And you're walking by an Elizabeth Warren rally and you see Big Structural Bailey. What the fuck do you think is going on? Like Big Structural Bailey, to explain what it means, you have to have so many dense layers. It's very much an internet product. It's a product of people who of advisors and staff who are just internet poisoned, because the assumption that the in-group references that you guys all share mean anything outside of that bubble is perfectly represented by Big Structural Bailey. Because not only is it a giant inflatable dog, it's a giant inflatable dog with two pennies on its neck. And of course, one of the Warren people will explain to you, well, you see, Bailey is actually the name of the dog that she just got before she ran for president, by the way. Big Structural refers to the big structural change that she's promising. And he's big and he's structural, although his structure is literally provided by hot air. That's the structure provided to Big Fucking Structural Bailey. It's just heated air. And then the two pennies are for the 2 cent wealth tax we're putting on wealth over $10 million. How far do you get in that conversation before the person walks away?
Yeah, well, I mean, true to form, so much of the Warren campaign, so much of its presence and outreach had the vibe of theater kids that have 1,000 in jokes that they think are funny because they make each other laugh. Yeah.
And of course, people would be like, "Oh, Chapel, you scumbags! You guys are the kings of internet self-referentiality." It's like, yes, but there was no big structural Bernie that people brought around to the fucking Bernie rallies or any of that.
People were not displaying the baseball crank head.
Yeah.
We're not running a fucking presidential campaign. Imagine if we ran a fucking presidential campaign and we sold fucking Caleb Jacoby shirts. It's the same thing.
Well, no, it's just like it's just basically what's going on is like all of the people that are demanding that Bernie drop out or that there be some kind of reckoning about like why his campaign didn't work are the people who are like, you know what? It is a shame that we're left with Joe Biden. Like, we deserve better than this. Like, you know, I it is bad that the Democrats didn't nominate a progressive and, like, you know, maybe a guy who raped someone in 1993. But, like, they're blaming that on Bernie and not, like, it's never like, oh, I never supported him when I had the chance. It's, like, his fault for, I don't know, talking to a podcast. Basically, they just want us to admit, like, this show to admit that,
yeah,
like,
that we personally
tanked Bernie Sanders' chances.
Right. And my question for those people, you know, you can talk about like the people on Twitter who are not at all broadly representative of voters you actually run into. But the other shit that happened, like a pro-Israel lobbying group throwing fucking millions of dollars into running specifically anti-Bernie ads, only anti-Bernie ads. What would have prevented that? Would that not have happened if people were fucking nicer to Matt Iglesias?
Yes, it would have.
Would that not have happened without snake emojis?
It wouldn't have happened. No, yeah.
Or are there other forces beyond your fucking little world?
Yeah,
that never would accept a Sanders fucking candidate.
I mean, I guess it's solipsistic.
Which is it?
That's what I'm getting at. Is like these people just want us to say like it was our fault. We hurt Bernie, and therefore that's why Biden is the nominee, and it sucks for everyone. Where it's like, well, we tried as hard as possible to make sure Bernie was the nominee. And like you maybe started tepidly supporting him in February of this year. Please fuck off forever. Like the idea that I would ever like apologize to you or even take what you have to say seriously is laughable. And it's like you supported the candidate that did worse than anyone. You're like, your candidate didn't finish higher than third in a single fucking primary. Like why they'll be in place now? Yeah, why all this advice now about what Bernie should have fucking done differently? And guess what? Maybe if you had wanted to influence the way Bernie did run a campaign, you should have, like, I don't know, worked for him, volunteered for it, or, like, done anything in the chance that maybe it would have made a difference, right? But what like but what,
he,
there's,
he
what they're saying
plans,
is that...
Though.
Oh, yeah, he didn't have... What they're saying is, like...
Yeah, zero plans.
What they're saying is, like, oh, Bernie only had a plan to win 30% of the Democratic electorate, which is, like, let's be honest, a huge fucking chunk of it. Huge fucking chunk of it that like were the field to have remained fractured would have fucking won. Like, I mean, you know, again, like maybe it seems foolish to look back on it now, but like we were all ready for Super Tuesday to be a fucking coronation. And then we all know what happened after that because they did the game theory thing and they got two of the like front runners to fucking drop out against despite not having any reason for doing that. Right. And they're like, well, I mean, I guess if your candidate didn't have a plan for what happens when two of the candidates who are like leading in delegates and votes at the point just decide to drop out and give it to the senile guy who hadn't won a single fucking or had won right. only and one it, primary. They're like, well, yeah.
Unprecedented. Yeah, and by the way, Elizabeth Warren didn't even have a plan to win her home state. Elizabeth Warren didn't have a plan to beat people with worse name recognition and less money than her.
And it was just like,
what was her fucking plan?
They all keep saying like, oh, like it can't just be that the media gave it to Biden because like the media declared Biden dead after fucking New Hampshire. And I was like, yeah, no shit. He fucking was. So isn't it weird that like all of a sudden everyone just like jumped ship and like just decided it's him? And if that's the case, like that with the other argument they say is like, well, if all Bernie had a plan for was to win a third of the entire Democratic Party for like an unprecedented candidacy that goes against everything that they supposedly stand for. I mean, first of all, that's pretty impressive. But they're like, I guess they didn't have a plan to win the other 60%. What does that say about your fucking party? Like, and the fact that like, yeah, like Biden was dead. Like, I thought nobody was like, wouldn't it have been, I thought it was going to be Buttigieg or Klobuchar or something. And then all of a sudden,
it goes to show that there's that the absolute cynicism of it is that, yeah, they don't give a shit about anything. What they care about is that there is a large segment of Democratic voters who are, they just listen to what they listen to the TV. Something like 80%. There's a poll. 80% of Democrats trust the mainstream media. Like, they have an instinctive trust for anything they see on, like, a non-Fox News, which means that they were basic, that a huge chunk of them were just not going to fucking ever free for Bernie when he was like persona non grata for them. The key for Bernie was always to get people who were not in the program or were not part of that sort of media ecosystem. And he didn't do it.
If you know, if you want to do the postmortem on the campaign, like that's it. Like, he didn't win enough of the people who have dropped out of the political process or fucking don't watch MSNBC, right?
Yeah.
But I think, again, this is not to sell it that he won a fucking lot of them, right?
Yes.
And like under the normal rules of everything that heretofore has happened, it was a pretty good fucking bet that he would be the front runner, if not the nominee. But like, what these people are saying now is like, why didn't Bernie plan for the thing that's literally never happened before? I mean, maybe he should have. I guess he should have fucking seen what was coming down the pike, that the Democratic Party would have done fucking anything to stop him, including like go against their own interests as far as the individual candidates go. But
I mean,
I guess that is
my postmortem on the Bernie campaign, that in the presidential race, at least, we're not going to have a good candidate while we have a Democratic electorate that trusts the media and trusts journalists. That's it. There's my fucking postmortem. And we're also not going to, next time, if there is a next time, it will have to be someone that faced with a Joe Biden, their first thought isn't, that's my friend.
Yeah, my friend, my buddy from the Obama years. I loved him.
The other infuriating thing that happened this week from this, the exact same crowd of people who were like, and by that, I mean, Warren supporters who are like, why doesn't, you know, what, Bernie really fucked us over by not winning. You know what I mean? By not beating Joe Biden.
Yeah.
You know, thanks for that, buddy. They're all fucking angry again because Joe Rogan came out this week and said, yeah, I'll probably vote for Trump over Biden, but I would have voted for Bernie. And they're like, this is what we told you all along. This is what we told, why does it, you know, Bernie should have denounced this guy. And it's like, this is what we told you all along. This is why Bernie was the candidate that should have been the fucking nominee, because he's the only guy that would get people who definitely would vote for Bernie but wouldn't vote for Biden or might vote for the fucking Republican. And the thing is, if you're Bill Kristol or David Frum and you say that, people pat you on the fucking head. But if you're Joe Rogan, they're like, oh, I knew this guy was evil all along. They all explicitly said, I'll never vote for Bernie in the primary, and that's why he's too dangerous. No one ever fucking, you know, said that these assholes are like, you know, morally poisoned. They're going to let Trump be the president because they don't want to vote for the fucking Democrat. It's just like, the rules only apply if you're Bernie Sanders, essentially. And like the idea that Joe Rogan is a morally worse person than David Frum, Jennifer Rubin, or Bill Kristol. If you believe that, like, you should get a lobotomy. Like, seriously. Like, you should stop thinking.
Yeah. Well, that is my little like cherry on top of the soft serve swirl of diarrhea. You never listen to these people fucking guilt you with academic language. Never let them scold you. Never let them tell you what words not to use, what podcasts not to like, including Joe Rogan. You never have to listen to these fucking people again. None of these people can ever guilt you into anything because they're doing it for Joe fucking Biden.
Honestly, that is the ultimate apocalyptic, like, revelatory moment here, is that all of this energy, all of these collected words said and published in defense of this vision of the Democratic Party as the place for the hopes and dreams of the marginalized in this culture, specifically racially, race and gender and sexuality, and that Bernie's chief sin for all of his other. Of course, we think he's generally has such good ideas, but his absolutely unforgivable sin is his unwillingness to intersect his analysis. And now all of those people have decided that Joe Biden is good and they should be president. And like, that's the game. It's over. Bye bye. It's done for. Come on.
No, yeah. Suck my fucking dick. You're never going to get me or fucking anyone below 40. You're never going to guilt them into anything over again. with a cynical application of Idpol ever again. Fuck off. Fuck off. You don't get to make anyone feel bad about consuming or thinking or saying anything. Fuck you.
Yeah. You're all doing it on behalf of a man who is similar to Trump in that he has no positive qualities you can point to. You have a lifetime of venality and disgusting Renfield like worship of capital, a current moment of just being a pudding brained senile oaf who's just a absolute hollow shell filled with a fucking Aetna stock.
I would slightly disagree with you. I think he has redeeming personal qualities in that, like, you know, he does have some kind of goofy charm to him, but like his career in American politics in terms of what he's actually done is almost unrivaled in the level of like evil that he's wrought upon the people of this country and world. Like, it's just, if there is anything bad in your life or like in American government or politics, like he had a hand in it for sure. Almost all of it. And like, and much of it is like actually specifically like explicitly like racist in its application and intent.
But he's good now, though.
Yeah.
No. Those years under Obama, you know, it's like in the movie when the, you know, the old racist, he has to like work with the black guy. And then at the end of the movie, he's like, you know what? You're not so bad. That was him.
It's like 48 hours. Yeah. But here's the thing.
He's Nick Nolte.
Yeah, he's Nick Nolte in 48 hours.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, though. Like, I mean, we've talked about this, and like, I know, you know, I guess like by, you know, if like a sort of in a literary sense, or like if going by your gut, it seems like Trump is going to win re-election, like despite that having no reason whatsoever. Like,
if there's going to be one,
if there's even going to be an election, right? But here's the thing. We should not give short shrift to the idea that like Joe Biden could get elected president in 2020.
Oh, for sure.
No, like, he absolutely like, could. And, like, and that's the.
And you know what? That is like we talked about in 2016, like what the funniest outcome would be. Like we were like, oh, Hillary being president is the funniest outcome. Joe Biden being president would be the funniest outcome.
No question.
Of this
by
election.
Far.
Without a doubt.
And that like, is that's the number one reason I think it's possible more than anything else is how funny it would be.
No. Yeah. If that's how you read the world. And there's at least a 50% shot. I mean, you know what's even funnier? Our queen, Dr. Jill Biden, her in a role as Edith Wilson.
Well, I mean, obviously that's her whole
Edith Wilson.
That's her whole plan because if she really cared for him, she wouldn't have let this happen.
No,
she clearly just using him as a vessel for her own power. I mean, yeah, maybe she just like, you know what? We would go to the White House for receptions, and those drapes just drove me crazy. I got to get in there and change them. Or, yeah, she wants to wield power behind the scenes.
Like, think how bad Joe Biden is right now. And by bad, I mean, like, his, like, inability to speak, finish sentences. Like, his mental and, like, physical capacity right now, because, like, he's gotten worse dramatically just in the last couple weeks. Like, every one of those, like, internet videos he does or interviews have just gotten like, and we've made fun of him for a long time for being fucking pudding brained and like fucking, you know, just rambling like incoherent gibberish, but like he's gotten worse. Think about him being president and where that's going to go. It will.
I mean, it may, I think it will, you know, there's a possibility scientifically speaking that it, he recovers lost synapses and brain cells.
It'll be like
the duty of being president repairs his brain. It restores the moldy birch.
They're going to give him the drugs that they gave Jeremy Renner in the Bourne movie. The chems. They're going to give him the chems.
Oh, man. Yeah. Just, President Joe. And that'll be great because, like, you know, all the Democrats will be happy. Like, they will have proven conclusively that, like, you know, our show has, you know, no actual power or sway. Ha ha. But they get to have Joe Biden as president. And, like, think how cool that'll be for everyone.
I think the good news is that if there is any, is that especially if you look at shit like what the court is doing with the Wisconsin and the both the state Supreme Court in Wisconsin, but also our U.S. Supreme Court, because they also made a ruling that's going to invalidate thousands and thousands of mail-in ballots in Wisconsin because they don't have postmarks on them, which is literally rewriting state law in Wisconsin on the fly just because that's the result that leads to fewer votes. I mean, that's the degree of legal thinking that went into that decision, meaning that politics, I mean, between the disaster capitalism we're seeing and the court ruling, like, there's no more politics as we understood them. I mean, to the degree to where they were ever real is debatable, but now we know that, like, you know, the veils are falling away. And if we want anything out of this disaster other than, you know, absolute death and penury, we're going to have to assert it on our own terms. Can't wait for any of this, these fucking forms to be, anything we want to be, to come through the observance of any of these hollow forms.
Matt, we were talking with Noah last night, like, as part of the COVID relief package, they're including a capital gains tax cut.
Yes, which to me, that's
what we need, baby.
See, it is, though, because if you guys don't know, capital gains tax, that's what you pay when you, like, sell stock or something. And it's taxed at a far lower rate than income, hilariously. And they want to tax it at an even lower rate than income. And the thing is that that's the kind of shit you do when you're getting liquid, when you're getting cash assets and getting rid of, like, you know, your speculative ones, which that's a perfect thing to do. That's a perfect goal to set if you're looking to, you know, if things do, we get out of this okay, and we're like, we still have intact economic supply chains and political and economic and social structures, shit, you can use all that liquid capital to just buy up all the distressed and empty property that there's going to be, all those former small businesses that all went under. You can just buy them up. Conversely, if things go really bad, you can use all that liquid asset, while money still means something, to build the Elysium ship and leave Earth.
Yeah. Just the height of absurdity right now is, like, you know, I know they ran a whole, like, basically before the pandemic hit, they spent the whole year on the Democratic primary arguing about healthcare. And Biden's thing was that we just need to go back to the ACA. And they're saying, like, right now, oh, like, how dare Trump not reopen the exchanges? Which, like, you know, as long as they're there, he definitely should. Like, so many people are fucking out of work right now. But, like, for these people, like, I see this Andy Slavitt asshole all the time. And people are like, he's the most incredible fucking expert on this, like, pandemic. Like, everyone listen to Andy Slavitt right now. The only time I heard that name before is when this fucking asshole was, like, lying on behalf of the Affordable Care Act and saying, like, oh, yeah, you can get a plan for $75 a month in there. It's very affordable. Like, he spent his whole, like, 5 years of his life creating the most ill-conceived, like, Rube Goldberg contraption of, like, fucking Frankenstein patchwork healthcare coverage that serves no one and makes everyone's life worse. And now he's just like, it's a shame we can't go back to that now. It's just like, let's be honest, he didn't wait. Like, those 5 years of his life that they wasted creating the ACA was 5 years that they didn't waste stopping single-payer healthcare from happening. Because that's the only reason these assholes have any job or, like, any vision whatsoever. Their only goal in life is to stop that from happening. And in a world now where, like, they spent a year saying, we can't have Medicare for all because people will lose their employer-backed healthcare, which they all love so much. Or people are so afraid of losing their employer-backed healthcare. A study came out today that said that 30 million Americans are going to lose their healthcare at the end of this crisis. These are people who had healthcare through their employer.
The new thing is Medicare for all, but just for coronavirus.
Yeah.
If you get coronavirus, you should not go bankrupt treating it. Anything else, go for it. Which really does show you what they're saying is, look, we need to give you as much health care as will stop you from getting us sick.
Yeah. I mean, out is going to prison to get health care, in licking subway poles.
But again, like, it goes back to this thing about, like, you know, these smug fucking pricks who are just like, you know, tutting over Bernie Sanders, like, supposed failure or whatever, a failure that they helped, you know, author. Yeah. So, and then, like, now they're going to fucking cry over it or, like, ask other people to apologize, right? Which is basically the only thing they're good at. They're just sort of like, well, you know, you can complain that the media helped Joe Biden or, like, you know, everyone just fell in line. But, like, ultimately, at the end of the day, it was the Democratic voters and they had their say, and most of them just didn't want Bernie Sanders. And if you're talking about a population of people that, like, vote in Democratic primaries or any primary election, these are essentially, like, I don't mean overwhelmingly so, but, like, you know, the overwhelming character is of people with a stake in the system, people with someone something to lose, people who are educated, people who follow politics because it politics does matter to them because they have like, you know, they have a say in what things happen because they have something to lose or like something to gain from it. If that's really the case, if that's really what they're saying, like at what point do I just like, I like, we don't deserve anything good in this country because we don't want anything good, you know? And we like, it's just more than anything, we don't want other people to have anything good, but it's just like, how can you, if you didn't understand the need for Medicare for all before, if this doesn't make it clear to you, like it just fuck it. Like it's just the voters are bad. They're bad people.
I think more what it does. Well, yeah, because voters are more, by and large, people who have invested emotionally in politics.
Yeah.
And who see politics as a mode of not only spectacle and enjoyment and emotional investment, but also as identity. And that is always a bad thing to do, even if you think it's for the good cause. I mean, it's gonna warp you in ways. And you know, the rest of Americans have just decided that it can't, because of exactly who votes and their priorities, have decided that there is no point. And as much as Bernie tried to change that, I don't know what outreach would work, but I know that whatever was tried was not sufficient to get people to say, hey, if we actually all do the same thing here, we can make this disgusting dog and pony show actually mean something. But we all have to do it. And that's a collective action problem that has bedeviled us on a billion fronts. And this is one of the most basic.
But like when you're talking about what I'm specifically like the Democratic primary voter, like, you know, it just, I guess the problem is the vast majority of them suck and will never want anything better for anyone. So we just have to
I think like the imagination of the Democratic primary voter is probably quite limited because they are so influenced by the horrible media. I mean, if you've looked at crosstabs for a lot of it, a lot of them are in favor entirely of the Bernie Sanders platform, but Democrats are easily cowed. They're easily beaten down. They're easily told that they don't want something that they actually do. They, you know, the old saying used to be Democrats fall in love, Republicans fall in line. The opposite is true. Mm-hmm. And this is especially true when there is an incumbent Republican.
That's when it's most true. Yeah.
Yeah. Democrats, because of the media complex, are prone to get too clever by half and imagine what other Americans would want.
Well, it's because people pointed out.
I think there are a lot of Democratic voters who are shitty. There are a lot of those fucking shitty suburbanites who came out for Joe Biden because motivated similarly to the Villages voters just don't want anything better for anyone else. Just work it out like I did. But there are a lot who, like, I'm sure are good people. And there are a lot who don't hate Bernie. I mean, it's weird given how anti-Bernie the media is. Bernie's negatives really aren't high with Democratic primary voters. Yeah.
No, that's interesting.
They thought, I mean, he's not electable. I mean, even these people who like him say he's not electable. Oh, I mean, I don't know about that. Joe's just experienced. I don't know about that. Like, I've seen Joe enough. And it's also like, I mean, think about how much we consume and we're able to consume. And think about people in our sphere and people who we read or listen to us. They're able to consume an incredibly high volume and you're able to pick things apart and you're able to, you know, off the top of your head, gather fucking 500 reasons why Joe Biden's terrible. But I'm sorry, someone who has a real job, someone who can't consume at the volume that, you know, maybe 100, 200,000 people on Twitter who influence the discourse of the media do, they do not. They don't consume in the same rate we do. And I think, yeah, the media is a huge fucking problem, but also the difference in we're basically speaking a different language at this point between the people who subscribe to fucking four different newspapers and services, watch a million things, fucking have individual rankings of news anchors they either like or hate the most. We're not speaking the same language as the vast majority of people who vote. that works. That's a double-edged sword. It works in one way in that, you know, whatever asshole on Twitter says that we lost the election for Bernie, it means that they're completely out to lunch. They don't speak the same language as these people either. But it does mean that there's a large gulf, and I don't see any success for any good Democratic presidential challenger until someone figures out a way to reach those people.
I mean, I don't mean to be like too hard on the voters themselves. You know, is it just get me new voters is what I'm saying here. No, it's just like you mentioned, like his faith, like despite the fact that like his faith, Bernie's favorability, like remains very high. And like issue by issue, like his agenda is very popular, but I think it's a mix of two things. I think like the people like he didn't reach or whatever, they all think that every other Democrat supports that same agenda.
Exactly.
Like they think every Democrat is for Medicare for all. And guess what? Like they've done a pretty good job of, you know, impersonating someone who is for Medicare for all. But it's either that or they think that like, even though I agree with those things in theory, we just like, it's just too impossible. It's just not going to happen. It's just like, it's a sort of failure of imagination or a failure to understand that like the Democratic Party actually does, like there is a split among them on these issues. Like they actually don't want the same things that Bernie does. But like, yeah, either way, it's just, there's a long way to go before like enough people are going to be on the side of like a Bernie style agenda or a Bernie style candidate. And like, I don't know if it was the candidate or the agenda or what, or like how you're going to massage those things, but like there still remains, yeah, like that 60% that was not persuaded. And I thought they would be. I thought enough of them would just be like, I really thought that enough people just needed to see that Bernie could win and like win those early states to just be like, okay, I'll get on board. You know, and like I think, and if
no, that was, that, if it, yeah, if it that, were was an, that was my thinking.
And
as
if
well.
It were another candidate, honestly, I think they would have, because the honestly, like the media would have covered him like the guy who was going to be the nominee. Like they would have given people,
and they never really covered like, him.
They,
like that,
they never ever. Gave people the permission to vote for him. Like what they did is they always gave people like an excuse not to, essentially.
Yeah,
and I think
or a requirement not to. Like you're playing with fire here by even considering this. And I think that the efficacy of that campaign and the resiliency of people's desire to not participate were things that together were in this context were not surmountable.
Well, we'll see. We're at 1:15 right now, guys. You want to wrap it up for today?
Sure.
Yeah.
That was a good episode, boys. Always nice to do the really like the OG Chapo original style.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's always uplifting.
Yeah, just all remote, all yelling into a tin can, and just the original three boys.
During the winding down of a Bernie Sanders presidential primary.
Yeah. Time really is a flat circle.
Oh my God. History doesn't repeat itself, but it rhymes.
Indeed. Before we go real quick, I would like to put in the show description of this episode, there is a COVID bailout fund here in New York City that is a bail fund designed to get people out of fucking the death house that is Rikers Island right now. I've already given money to it, but I would just like to shout out that fund here and encourage you to kick in some change if you're able to. It is probably like
fantastic,
probably
cause.
The most important thing I can imagine if you're looking for a charitable donation right now than getting people who are like, you know, awaiting trial for like a DUI out of like the world's hottest coronavirus, like, you know, plague zone. And it's just like, it's just a death house right now. And, you know, Cuomo is specifically in this latest budget just ended the cash bail reform that they said they were going to do. They walked that back.
Psych!
That was past legislation. It was like they're just going, nope, not going to do that. Just going to cut Medicaid and just keep thousands of people inside Rikers Island right now. And these are people awaiting trial. No, they haven't been convicted of anything. These are just people awaiting trial. And a lot of them, they're in there for shit that are like, you know, a parole violation or fucking like, you know, just like the most ticky-tack shit being thrown in, like what in normal circumstances.
Oh, violating social distancing can get you thrown in Rikers now.
Yeah, oh, Jesus Christ. Well, yeah, that's sort of defeats the purpose. But yeah, like what?
Depending on what you think the purpose is.
Yeah, well, under normal conditions, Rikers Island is just like an inhuman dungeon of violence and degradation. But right now, it like could be like an actual death sentence in terms of like the horrific level of the disease, you know, being spread inside of it right now. So, yeah, COVID bailout fund. I'm going to put a link or some information about that in the show description, and just check it out and give them some money if you can. Maybe get someone out of Rikers and potentially save their life right now. Well, boys, another job well done. We got a bonus episode coming later this week. We're staying real fucking good with content right now, and we are completing the Star Wars prequel trilogy watch along DVD commentary later this week. And we've got just plenty more fun stuff coming. So stay tuned, stay safe, stay healthy, everybody. Till next time, bye, guys.
Bye.